We gather in the Lord's house on this Transfiguration Sunday to celebrate and encounter the divine. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this day. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this Sunday morning. As you heard me say just a few moments ago, it is Transfiguration Sunday. It is a day where we remember Jesus ascending the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and there being transfigured into dazzling white clothing, seen with Moses and Elijah, and may we too experience the divine in worship this day. If you are a first-time guest with us, welcome. Welcome to First Baptist Church of Elon. We are excited that you decided to join us for worship this day. I would ask that if you have a chance to fill out one of the visitor's card that's located in the pew in front of you, and then as you leave following worship, you can just drop it off in the offering plate as you leave later today so we can just have a record of your visit with us today. For those that are watching us this morning online via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us this morning online. I encourage you also to go to our website this morning at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can find a worship bulletin there. Use that as a resource for our worship this morning, but also use it as a resource for the ministries coming up in the life of our church. If this is a first time you're joining us online this morning, I encourage you to send me an email this week. Connect with me. Let me follow up with you later this week and share with what First Baptist Elon is all about. But today is an exciting day. It's a day that we gather to worship. It's a day that we can celebrate who Christ is and who He has revealed Himself to us in being. And so I'm glad you decided to worship with us today. This morning, towards the end of our service, we also will be observing communion, the Lord's Supper. Some of you have chosen to observe by using prepackaged communion elements. You may have picked those up in the foyer this morning as you came in. We will be passing the plates for communion today. However, if you would prefer to have have prepackaged elements and you did not pick them up in the foyer, John Russell, one of our deacons, is at the back right now. So if you'd rather have prepackaged elements, all you have to simply do is raise your hand right now and he'll bring those elements to you. However, we will pass the plates when it comes to communion a little bit later on. Today is a full day of ministry. We are excited to welcome our college students with us today. We'll hope you'll stay for lunch today upstairs in our fellowship hall. Looking forward to a Super Bowl luncheon today with our college students. Other than that, of course, I know many of you will be watching the big game tonight at 6:30, I think, is kickoff. The youth will be gathering in my house for the game tonight, so there are no other evening activities tonight. However, if you look at our church calendar for this week, we have lots of things going on. I want to point out a couple of those to you. There is one slight change as well. Senior Adult Luncheon will be on Tuesday. Many of you have signed up for this luncheon. That's at 11:30 on Tuesday. Come out and enjoy a wonderful meal. Austin Decker from Baptist Aging Ministry will be with us on Tuesday. So it should be a wonderful time of celebration and fellowship on Tuesday morning at 11:30. Tuesday evening, only the handbells will be practicing. That'll be at 5:30. The worship choir, our choir back behind us, will not be practicing Tuesday night. So just a reminder about that. Handbells will be practicing. Wednesday, Circle of Friends, which is our a group that goes out and visits some of our homebound members of our church, will be meeting and going to visit. If you'd like to join that group, anybody is welcome to go. It's a great opportunity, a great ministry. We meet upstairs at the Truth Seekers classroom. That group goes out and visits. So Circle of Friends will be meeting Wednesday afternoon. And then our book group, our book chat, will meet at Barnes & Noble on Thursday at 11 a.m. So that's what's going on this week. Of course, many other things going on in the life of our church. Next Sunday, roundtable business meeting at 4 o'clock. Please make special note of those. Two other mission projects going on right now. Our collection for our blessing bags. Items for those are located on the back of your bulletin today. Also, we'll be taking the Share the Love, Love offering. The last Sunday of this month for the global, our international missionaries that we support. That'll be on Sunday, February 25th. So pick up one of those love offering envelopes and place it in the offering plate sometime between now and Sunday, February 25th. Lots of other things going on. We gather here, though, to worship and celebrate the divine. Let us worship Him in song this morning.
Our first hymn this morning is Shine, Jesus, Shine. Let's stand and worship together.
Jesus.
apologize for the technical difficulty. It always happens every once in a while. Our opening scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 50, reading verses 1 through 6. Hear God's word this morning. The mighty one, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, from Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather to me my consecrated ones, who made a covenant with me by my sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for God himself is judge. As we think about how wonderful and powerful God is, the fact that he reveals himself to us in such an intimate way. And tonight, this morning, we'll see the beauty of God's divinity, but we'll also see the intimacy of how he revealed himself to Peter, James, and John. He does the same to us on a daily basis. Let us worship him today in prayer. Pray with me. Holy One, when the world is full of confusion and your message is hard to perceive, still we can see you. Still your presence shines, a light to illuminate the shadows. Where we cannot find a way to speak your story, let your being shine in us and through us, that we may reflect your glory and your grace. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I was just thinking I might need to borrow David's towel if it's up here. It is very warm up here. I hope Liz is nice and warm today. Our offertory hymn is Jesus at His Holy Table. Let's stand and sing.
Free.
This morning, for our ministry highlight, I want to share a study that will be taking place here at First Baptist Elon. As many of you already know, this Wednesday, many in our country will be celebrating Valentine's Day, a celebration of love. And for all you guys and ladies out there, if you didn't know that, this is my reminder to you so you don't get in trouble, okay? Don't forget if you're not supposed to forget. But it is, this Wednesday will be Valentine's Day. However, in the Christian calendar, this Wednesday is also Ash Wednesday, signaling the beginning of the season of Lent. Lent is a period of 40 days where Christians remember the events leading up to Jesus' death on the cross. Now, during these 40 days of Lent, Christians are called to reflect on the relationship with Christ and to seek to draw closer to Him through acts of spiritual discipline. I'll be preaching about this over the next couple weeks as we approach Holy Week. Now, as a part of this period of drawing closer to Him, I also will be offering a Lenten Bible study titled The Way. This study by Pastor Adam Hamilton will begin on Sunday, February 25th, so 2 weeks from today, and conclude on Palm Sunday, March 24th. We'll meet at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoons, and during this time, we will retrace the footsteps of Jesus from His baptism to the temptations, to the heart of His ministry, including the people that He loved, the enemies that He made, the parables that He taught, and the roads that He traveled. My hope is that through this study, you too will draw closer to Christ during the season of Lent as we approach Holy Week. Now, there is a book that you can purchase online to help with this study, to read along as we participate in the study, but it is not required for the study itself. Really, all you're encouraged to do is bring your Bible with you, because we will be reading quite a bit of Scripture as a part of this study. But everyone is invited to take part in this starting in 2 weeks on Sunday afternoon. I hope you'll join me for this Lenten study starting on February 25th. Now at this time, I'll call on Deacon John Russell for our offertory prayer.
Let's have a word of prayer, please. Lord, You blessed us with so many things. You blessed us with the body we have, the air we breathe, the finances we have, the friendship, the love that's given. Lord, remind us to do the things we need to help each other and love each other and serve each other. Lord, help us to relinquish our monies and give it back to You. We ask it in Your name. Amen.
Peace.
If you would, once again, join me in prayer before we encounter God's word this day. Holy God, we confess this day that we do not always trust you fully. We put our hope in worldly gain and in human promises and find ourselves oftentimes defeated and lost when things fall apart. You have given us a love more fully than anything we could experience in this world, but we do not seek it, we do not hold on to it, and we look to our own means of assurances and security. Forgive us this day. Call us back to you, that we may put our trust in you and not be afraid. May we hear the words so clearly as the disciples did on the day of the Transfiguration. May we rise up and not be afraid. In the name of Jesus, who loves us and offers us forgiveness, we pray. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship on this Transfiguration Sunday. Again, at the conclusion of our sermon today, we'll be observing the Lord's Supper, communion, and each individual that has gathered this morning is welcome to participate in communion as you see fit. For those watching online, I would encourage you to gather the respective elements you have at your home and observe it with us later on in worship today. So raise your hand if you're going to watch the big game today. I know it's just the hanging up in the room. Raise your hand high. All right, put your hands down. Raise your hand if you're not going to watch the game today. Be honest. You don't have to watch it. There you go. All right, so raise your hand if you actually know who's playing in the game today. All right. Raise your hand if you're going to pull for the Kansas City Chiefs today. All right. All right, hands down. Raise your hand if you actually knew the Kansas City Chiefs were playing in the football game today. Who can tell me who the Kansas City Chiefs are playing today? 49ers. The 49ers. Well, by the way, I've been a 49ers fan for decades. So raise your hand if you're going to pull for the best team today, the San Francisco 49ers. There you go. So I thought about today starting the sermon by saying, okay, all the 49er fans sit over here. And all the Kansas City Chiefs fans sit over here. And then everybody else who doesn't care to sit in the middle. And then I was going to pray to all the sinners pulling for the Kansas City Chiefs and saying, shame on you, and how and call the San Francisco 49ers fans the good fans. Anyway, but I'm not going to do that. I'll think about it, but I won't do that. So, but anyway, I hope everybody enjoys watching the big game today or not watching the big game. Either it's going to be a great celebration for football, or it'll be a great celebration for all those fans who want football to be over. So there you go. So there you go. Whatever it is, it is. Back to the sermon now. Let's face it. In life, it's filled with peaks and valleys. A peak is something excellent that happens in your life, something great, something to celebrate, something to remember, like winning the Super Bowl. The birth of your child, that is a high point in your life. The day you get married, that is a peak in your life. The day you get accepted into your college of choice, that is a peak in your life. The day you receive an academic or athletic scholarship, that's a peak in your life. During those moments, it is easy to be a Christian. It is easy to say, God is really good, you think to yourself. There is no doubt in your mind that God is truly blessing you in peak moments. But unfortunately, life is not one peak after another. There are valleys too. Those troubled times of life. Those difficult moments when you've been diagnosed with that incurable illness. That's a valley. When a loved one passes away, that is a valley. When you lose your job unexpectedly, that is a valley. When you fail that college course, that is a valley. During those moments, it is more difficult to be a Christian sometimes. It's most difficult. When you're in a valley, it is hard to say sometimes, God is good. Sometimes your faith is maybe shaken. There's some doubt there. When you're in a valley, there's doubt that maybe God is not really blessing you and not seeing the things that are going around in your life. Peaks and valleys. Where are you right now? Are you in a peak? Are you in a valley? Or are you somewhere in between? Maybe there is a peak or a valley that you can see coming ahead. Maybe you can see it just around the corner, or maybe you can't see it at all, but I can guarantee you a peak or a valley is coming. The disciples of Jesus had no idea that they were about to enter a valley in the story we're going to look at today. They were about to go through the lowest point that they had experienced with Christ ever. Things with Jesus seemed to be going great. They seemed to be going well. He had been performing miracles, walking on water, feeding the 5,000. He had been surrounded by crowds of people, listening to every word he said. It was easy to be a disciple of Jesus at that time. There was no doubt that this was the Son of God, that He was the Savior of the world. The disciples were experiencing one of the high points after another, peak after a peak with Jesus. But right around the corner loomed a valley. Right around the corner loomed the valley of the shadow of death. The crowds would soon turn around against Jesus. He would soon be betrayed. He would soon be arrested. He would soon be tortured. He would soon be publicly condemned and executed in the most shameful way known to man at that time. The valley was right around the corner. The disciples would be filled with fear and doubt that Jesus was the Son of God. Soon it would be exceedingly difficult to be a disciple of Christ. A deep, dark valley was right around the corner, and the disciples had no idea. So what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do, knowing what was coming ahead? Jesus prepared them for the valley that they were about to experience. And He prepared them with what I like to call a little mountain preparation. So Jesus takes them to the top of a mountain. He lets them experience something amazing with their own eyes. They catch a glimpse of divine glory. Right before the valley, Jesus takes them to a mountain, to a high point, and He does this to strengthen them for the difficult road ahead. Today, this day, it is good for us to go on this journey with the disciples and experience with them this high point, this peak moment, for two specific reasons. One, this transfiguration prepares us for the season of Lent. Just shared with you that Ash Wednesday takes place this Wednesday, the first day of Lent, and this will take place for 40 straight days that we'll experience a valley. Up until this time, over the past 6 weeks of sermons that I've been preaching since the new year, you've heard me preach, and Gabe mentioned it just a few minutes ago, about things that Christ is challenging each of us to do, to be new creations in Christ in 2024, picking up specific towels that make a difference in this world. Each of the towels I challenged you with was a reflection of the positive characteristics of our Savior. You also heard me preach about the Magi, the wise men who came to visit Jesus, who brought gifts to the Christ child. In each of those sermons, you heard me talk about Christ, how powerful and how wonderful He is, and what a great teacher that He was, and without a doubt, no doubt at all, that He is God, He is the Son of God and Savior of the world. But now we enter a period, a time of Lent, that time of the church year where Jesus descends into the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to look at, over the next couple weeks, examples of how individuals sought Him out. We're going to be looking, following a sermon series called Seekers. But we'll also see how others may have sought Him out and rejected Him. We'll see how Jesus suffered and died for the sins of the world. So these next 6 weeks during this season of Lent, we are going to walk with Jesus into the valley. But this mountaintop experience today, this Transfiguration Sunday, is preparing us for this season. What we hear about today will prepare us, equip us for the next 6 weeks. The second reason why we need to experience the same mountain that the disciples did that Transfiguration Sunday is this. The Transfiguration also prepares us for our own personal valleys. As we see Jesus glorified here today, it prepares us when we go through our own difficult moments. Maybe you're in one of those valleys right now. Maybe you see a valley that lies ahead. Maybe you are completely unaware of the valley that is coming, but I guarantee you that God sees it. He is preparing you right now for that valley. May God bless you this day through the Transfiguration. May God bless you this day through the experience of the disciples and you as the disciple of Christ today, as it equips you and prepares you for whatever personal valley that you might face. May God bless you just as He blessed Peter, James, and John, and see Jesus reveal His own divine glory. May your faith be strengthened as well for the days ahead as you prepare for all the different peaks and valleys that we're going to go through. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark chapter 9. Verses 2 through 10, the words will be on the screen behind you, me as well. The Bibles are in the pew as well if you want to follow along in the Word. There are Bibles in the pews. Let's read this account of this mountain experience, this mountain preparation that took place for the disciples that day on the Transfiguration. Starting in verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with Him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There He was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to Him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. What an amazing high point for Peter, James, and John to experience Peter wanted this moment to freeze. He wanted it to last forever. He was not really sure what to say or what to do. And let me tell you, that was the first time for Peter for anything. Peter knew how to run his mouth. He knew what to say. Peter was the first one to talk in any conversation that disciples ever had. You always say, Peter said this. This was the first time that Peter was dumbfounded, and this is the first time he said, what do I do, what do I do? Let's build something. Let's build some shelters to commemorate this moment, and so we do not have to leave this place. But that idea was not a possibility. Instead, a bright cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. We can't stay on the mountain. We can't stay in those moments. We would love to, but we can't stay there. What an amazing experience to hold on to, but we have to move forward. To hear the voice of God, but not only to hear the voice of God, but to hear his message. Yes, this is my son, and yes, you should listen to him. This was so important for the disciples to hear. To us nowadays, we're like, of course, that's a no-brainer. Yes, he's the son of God. Yes, we should listen to him. But you've got to remember, the disciples were about to go through something where they might question those very two facts. And that's what God reinforced to them. This is God, son. Yes, he is my son. Listen to him. Soon people would be saying that Jesus was not the son of God. Soon it will be seen as though God the Father did not love Jesus Christ. The religious leaders would be saying that no one should be listening to Jesus. These would be the valleys. But here, on top of the mountain, it was clear that this is the Son of God, loved by the Father, whose words are words to which we should listen. God was using the mountain to prepare the disciples for the valley ahead. But then, just as quickly as it happened, the moment ended. Now, this was a high point for those disciples, a peak. They saw Christ in all his glory, surrounded by the prophets and acclaimed by God the Father. And many sermons could be preached about Elijah and Moses being with them and all the different symbolism and why it's so significant, those two prophets, but not for today. This would help strengthen the disciples as they continued on with Jesus down the mountain into the valley that they saw, in the valley that Christ was preparing them for. This helps us as well. As we enter into the season of Lent, we must hold on to the mountaintop experiences. We must hold on to the experience of the Transfiguration, the truths that were spoken there that day. We must hold on to our mountaintop experiences that we have with God. Here today, we are reminded that Jesus is the Son of God, the Holy One spoken by the prophets. Although he will be suffering and dying, he is still God and Savior, doing these things to win for us our salvation. Now, this helps us as we go through our own peaks and valleys of life. And again, as I said, I don't know where you are right now. If you're experiencing that high moment, I would encourage you to hold on to it. Experience it. Remember it. Ingrain it in your mind. It will not last forever, unfortunately, but use it as you move forward into life. If you're in a low moment, recall those high moments. Use the Transfiguration, the truths that were spoken there. Use that as a source to help pull you out. Use it as a source of strength and faith. I do not know where you are right now. I don't know where you're going to be in 2 hours. I don't know where you're going to be in 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. But the one thing I do know is this, is that he does. And that he's going to prepare you. He's preparing me for where I'm going to be. And he loves each one of us enough to prepare each one of us in the same way. Trust him. That's what he's doing. But for us today, on this Transfiguration Sunday, right now, it is good for us to be here. Just like it was good for Peter, James, and John to be there on that day. Because here we are reminded of our Savior's glory, of who he really is. In closing this morning, American evangelist Dwight L. Moody shared the story about a Christian woman who was always bright, always cheerful, and always optimistic, even though she was confined to her room because of an illness. She lived in an attic apartment on the fifth floor of an old rundown building. A friend decided to visit her one day and brought along another woman, a well-to-do woman in their community. Since there was no elevator in this rundown building, the two ladies began the long climb upward to this apartment. When they reached the second floor, the well-to-do woman commented, "What a dark, filthy place this is." Her friend just simply replied, "It's better higher up." When they arrived at the third floor landing, the remark was made by the wealthy woman again, "Things look even worse here." Again, the reply by the friend, "It's better higher up." Finally, they reached the attic level where they found the bedridden saint of God. A smile was on this woman's face, radiating the joy that filled her heart. Although the room was clean and flowers were on the windowsill, that wealthy woman visitor could not contain herself about the stark surroundings that she experienced and was seeing, and she blurted out, "It must be very difficult for you to be here like this." Without a moment's hesitation, the shut-in responded, "It will be better higher up." Right now, she was in a valley, but she was looking at temporal things. She wasn't looking at the things around him. With her eyes fixed on the eternal, she had found the secret of true satisfaction and contentment. Where does she get the strength? Where does she get that dispositional life, that perspective? She had been with Jesus in the Word. She had seen the glory of the mountaintop just as Peter, James, and John had seen. You see, the disciples needed to climb a mountain to see this. This woman, all she had to do was open God's Word. That's why when we gather here in this place, God's Word is your mountain to climb. Every time you come here to church, whether it's at First Baptist Elon or wherever church you go to, and you hear the Word of God, you have climbed the mountain. Here you can see Christ, who has taken your sins away on the cross to when he's risen from the dead. Here you can catch a glimpse of his glory, even if it's just for a moment. It is good for you to be here, because this is where you're strengthened for the days ahead, for all the peaks and valleys that are just around the corner for you. Here you can experience the sacrificial love of Christ as well through the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. When Jesus gathered with his disciples for that final meal, he knew that this would be another example of that experience of the divine. He knew that the disciples would need this for the valley that they were about to walk into. But he also knew years and years and years down the road that the church would be able to turn to this moment as a chance to experience him and be reminded of who he is and the love that he is showing for us. That's why the table's open to everyone. Everyone can experience the divine. And that's why we gather at the Lord's Supper and the Lord's table today. So at this time, in this moment, I just want you to close your eyes for a minute. Reflect on your experiences with God, maybe this week. Where have you experienced Him? What high moments have you had? What mountaintop experiences can you recall? How does it prepare you to partake in this meal? What do you need to confess to Him this day before we partake in the Lord's Supper? Take a few moments and lift it up to Him this morning. Amen. I'll ask the deacons to step forward. I'll ask John Russell to have a prayer for our bread this morning.
Thank you.
That night, as Jesus gathered with his disciples, he grabbed a piece of bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat."
Thank you. scripture tells us that after they partook of the meal, that they sang a hymn and then went out. Today we'll do the exact same thing. But I hope today that you maybe in a little bit of way experience a little bit of the divine. And maybe you can take this experience with you wherever the road leads you, whether it leads you up the mountain, or maybe it leads you down into a valley. Wherever you go, take it with you, because you're not alone. Because Christ is right there. Let's stand and sing.